Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Direct from Israel.
Yeah.
Rita.
Yeah.
Avi.
Yeah.
Alisa, Jeremy, and I want to wish the JCC heartfelt congratulations on this wonderful 75th anniversary celebration. We know that the slideshow you will see and the history of the JCC you will soon be reading will highlight the central role the JCC has played in the shaping of Wilmington's Jewish community. On a festive eve such as this, two men who helped to develop the JCC as executive directors, the late Iz Salad and the late Harry Bluestone, should be recalled to mind. On this momentous day in the history of Israel and in the history of the JCC, we share your simcha from across the sea, and we pray that you may go mechayil lechayil from strength to strength. Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Go, okay.
Okay.
But slow, yeah, all right, go ahead.
Opening quotation. I think we like each other honestly. He is a charming man with a wonderful sense of humor. We understood each other very well and will understand each other better. Close quotation. These were the first words from Prime Minister Menachem Begin to the Israeli people after he had completed his first meeting with President Sadat Saturday night. To understand each other better, that is the great hope of Begin and all Israelis concerning this monumental visit of President Sadat to Jerusalem.
A little slower, Rabbi.
Through understanding, which can only come from face-to-face talks like this, there will be shalom, peace. On the front page of two of the major morning newspapers, an advertisement echoed this sentiment. It read, "It's time for peace." Ever since Thursday at 5:30 in the afternoon, when it was officially announced that President Sadat would arrive on Saturday night, there has been an exuberance in the air, an excitement matching none other that has ever been felt in this country, eclipsing even that moment 30 years ago this coming week, when on the 29th of November, 1947, the United Nations passed a petition plan establishing the states of Israel and Jordan. Then the excitement was for a beginning. The future was unknown. Now, after four difficult wars, there was a feeling that with Sadat's coming, there finally might be an end to the fighting, to the death of Israelis and Egyptians. For that possibility, the emotions of Israelis ran the whole gamut from tremendous hope to let us wait and see. Along with the reactions of the people, there were many formalities which had to be arranged for this visit. One of the initial efforts was the securing of Egyptian flags. You cannot welcome a visiting dignitary without displaying the flag of his country. And of course, in Israel, as of Thursday night, there were no Egyptian flags. But the veteran Israeli flag maker, Yitzhak Berry,
Yitzhak Berry, I got you, go ahead.
Okay. The only one in Jerusalem had an order from the government for 1,000 Egyptian flags in red, white, and black, which had to be hanging by 8 o'clock Saturday night. Fortunately, he had recently acquired the on Friday, he and his workers had been up all night, and the number of Egyptian flags was growing. On this particular Friday, the first since our arrival in Israel, we were leaving Jerusalem for the Sabbath to visit relatives at Kibbutz Yavne, a religious kibbutz.
Let's see, that's Y-A-V-N-E.
N-E.
N-E, I got you.
Okay. A religious kibbutz about an hour out of Jerusalem. Already on Friday, the preparations were moving at a rapid pace, and we almost could not get out of the city because the entrance exit to Jerusalem was in a turmoil. As we finally made the turn onto the highway leading out of the city, we saw a beautiful sight. The placing of an Egyptian flag next to an Israeli flag on the roof of the Paz gasoline station.
P-A-Z.
P-A-Z.
Yeah.
Our emotions spilled over. Could this be real? Rita and I asked each other. We would have never believed that these two flags would fly together in Jerusalem. But here they were. The mood built up over the Sabbath. Security measures, the strictest ever, were taken. Religious government workers were given permission by the chief rabbis to do the special work required for Sadat's visit, even on the Sabbath. For us, the excitement was heightened because we returned to Jerusalem from the kibbutz after the Sabbath over the very same route that President Sadat would take an hour after us. We saw exactly what the president and his party would see. There were policemen and soldiers guarding the route. On the bridge at the Harel Junction, H-A-R-E-L.
H-A-R-E-L, I got you.
Yeah, a large sign in Arabic read, Salam Aleikum, President Anwar Sadat.
How are you spelling Aleikum?
A-L-E-I-K-E-M.
A-L-E-I-K-E-M, I-M or E-M?
E-M.
E-M, I got you.
Then we approached the avenue leading into the city, which was all aglow. There was the municipality sign in Hebrew, English, and Arabic, welcoming the president. There, moving slightly in the evening breezes, were numerous Egyptian flags hanging side by side with the Israeli flags. At the actual entrance to the city, the crowds were already forming. The TV cameras were there to record the events. An elderly Sephardic Jew wrapped in his prayer shawl was chanting special psalms for this occasion.
Hold on, Robert. Let me test it. Test one for all. Go ahead.
Once home, Rita and I, Avi, Elisa, and Jeremy.
Elisa is two S's and one S.
What?
Lisa. L-I-S-A.
E-L-I-S-S-A.
E-L?
I-S-S-A.
Elisa.
Yeah.
Oh, Elisa.
Yeah, Elisa.
Avi, Elisa. E-L-I-S-S-A, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, and sat anxiously awaiting Sadat's arrival. Outside, we could hear helicopters whirling around, checking out the roads. Our children reflected the mood of many youth, a bit skeptical, since all they knew about Egypt previously was negative. But on the other hand, they were hopeful. They had
how old are the kids, Rabbi?
11.
Ooh, Avi's 11?
11, Elisa's 10, and Jeremy is almost 7.
Go ahead.
6 and a half.
I spell Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y?
Yes.
Okay.
They had not undergone war itself, but just this Sabbath, the message of war had been brought home to them when they met a man at the kibbutz who had only hooks for hands. He had lost his hands in the Yom Kippur War. his spirit was undaunted. Through this encounter, the message of war had been brought home to them. So the coming of Sadat, in terms of possible peace, had a meaning for them as for all Israeli children. Finally, that moment was at hand. The trumpets blasted. The plane taxied and stopped where the dignitaries were awaiting. And then, as we sat there almost in disbelief, President Sadat came down the ramp and was warmly greeted by President Katsir and Prime Minister Begin. The emotion of the Israeli reporter describing the scene was evident. After all the wars, death, and sorrow, President Sadat had come to Israel to a triumphant and a very warm welcome. As he inspected the honor guard, as he walked down the red carpet of welcome and greeted each minister and dignitary in the line, it was clear that the impossible had occurred. Arab and Jew had come face to face to talk, to discuss, to challenge, to compromise, but to speak one to another. The Jerusalem Post, the English paper here in Israel, had a special edition awaiting Sadat's arrival at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. It read in large red Arabic letters, and I'll spell the next three words, capital A-H-L-A-N, small W-A, capital S-A-H-L-A-N.
That's for Samuel.
Yes. Welcome, meaning welcome President Sadat. And the front page editorial, entitled Historic Mission, caught the spirit of the moment, and I quote, "Hail to the chief of the state of Egypt for the courage and the wisdom that have inspired his coming to Israel," the editorial began. And then it stated, and I quote, "Anwar Sadat cannot have failed to foresee that his audacious step towards peace would meet with a violent reaction from many of his Arab brethren. Plainly, he was more concerned with making a start on freeing both Arabs and Israelis from their common and oppressive bondage to mutual violence. The patent gulf will not be bridged in a day, but a beginning can be made, and continued in Cairo and later yet in Geneva, in casting off hackneyed formulas and setting out in pursuit of fresh ideas. President Sadat's visit offers challenge and an opportunity without precedent. It must not be a mere dot in history, but a point of no return in the progress of the peoples of this ancient area from strife to peace." End of quote. Surely every Israeli was in agreement with these sentiments. Saturday night was now history. Sunday awaited us. The office of the Zalman Shazar Center.
Z-A-L-M-A-N.
And S-H-A-Z-A-R Center.
Yeah.
Israel Historical Society, where I work, is only a block and a half away from the Media Communications Center, which was established for Sadat's visit at the Jerusalem Theater. This is an elaborate setup put together in less than 48 hours. And containing direct dial telephones overseas and large television screens which can be viewed by the many newspaper reporters who cannot be on the scene for all the events. I walked by on Sunday morning hoping that Barbara Walters or Walter Cronkite might appear, but I did not have any such luck. There are close to 2,000 journalists here. Quite a contingent from Egypt and from all over the world, covering the biggest news story in this country's history. Moreover, there because only a short distance from my office is Jabotinsky Street. Jabotinsky. The main route taken for the visit to Yad Vashem, YADVASHEM, the memorial for the 6 million, earlier on Sunday. As soon as we heard on the radio that Sadat had left the King David Hotel, we walked over to Marcus Square and Jabotinsky Street. Others were already lining the street with their small Egyptian and Israeli flags. The security was intense. 25 policemen lined the square. Soldiers with machine guns were placed at strategic places. And all of a sudden, the entourage was upon us. Through the window of the black Cadillac limousine, we could see President Sadat smiling broadly. He was only 5 feet away. He waved at us as the car passed, as did Prime Minister Begin, who was seated next to him. The crowd clapped and cheered. The Egyptian flags and Israeli flags, sensing the passing party, flapped in the breeze. As I milled through those who were returning to work, one Israeli in his 40s said the following to me when I asked him what the Sadat visit meant to him personally, and I quote, "I have fought against the Egyptians on 3 occasions. I have a son who will soon be of an age to enter the army. I want him to serve, but I hope that somehow Sadat's visit will open the way to negotiations which will lead to peace. Surely Sadat knows that economically war is suicidal for him as well as for us. With this brave step of his, perhaps the way is finally open for compromise, for peace. Then my son and all Israeli children can grow up and not have to be faced with constant warfare. At least now there is a chance." End of quotation. Another analysis of Sadat's visit was given to me by Professor Ettinger, E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, Professor of Modern Jewish History at the Hebrew University.
You know his first name?
His first name is Shmuel, S-H-M-U-E-L.
Yeah, okay.
Professor Ettinger indicates that Sadat, with this bold stroke, is playing for American support. Recently, the extremist elements of the Arab nations and the Palestinians have begun to get the ear of President Carter and the State Department. The American government has been turning away from its moderate friend, Egypt. Now, with this unexpected move, Sadat has shown the American people that he is ready to negotiate, and he hopes that the American people will pressure Carter and ultimately Israel into a settlement. Sadat's visit, the professor argues, was a way of assuring peace negotiations at Geneva. Sadat's speech to the Knesset on Sunday was charged with all kinds of emotion, because of the fact that he had done what he had promised, to come to Israel and to speak at the Knesset. He spoke for over an hour, and practically everyone in Israel was watching. Government offices were closed early. The university was also shut quite early, so that all the people could get home in time to watch.
What time did he talk your time?
He spoke from 4 till about 5:10.
4 in the afternoon?
Yeah, about an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay,
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
The speech did not break any new ground. Again, there was the demand for withdrawal by Israel from the territories and from Jerusalem. Again, Sadat asked Israel to make concessions or to face, as he called it, a Holocaust. The speech, however, was out of the ordinary, for here was President Sadat standing under the picture of the modern founder of Zionism, Theodore Herzl, and speaking in Arabic about the future relationships between Israelis and Arabs. Prime Minister Begin followed Sadat with an emotion-charged speech, which retraced the history of the founding of the state, with the emphasis always being on the fact that Israel wanted shalom, peace, but they were always attacked by the Arabs. Begin was not prepared to make any concessions other than to say that now there would be an opportunity to discuss each issue. He took no hard line. Each and every item must be discussed separately, he reiterated. The opposition leader, Shimon Peres, S-H-I-M-O-N-P-E-R-E-S, was the final speaker, and he indicated the solidarity of the Israeli people for peace. Then it was over. That moment in history, a Knesset session in Jerusalem that will always be remembered. Nothing had changed on the surface, but everything had changed. To prepare the way for discussion at Geneva, this seemed to be one of the main purposes of Sadat's visit. How to solve the problems by negotiation and not by warfare. Sadat returned from the Knesset to the King David Hotel for a working meeting in the evening with Prime Minister Begin. The bells at the YMCA across from the hotel rang out their greeting to him. The hope here in Jerusalem is that tomorrow, and in just a few more tomorrows, there will be a peace which all can accept. No one would have believed that Sadat would come to Israel, that he would speak in Arabic in the Knesset. So now, with all the unbelievable occurring, there is a feeling that the door has been opened and that progress to peace, hopefully, will be made.
Rabbi, let me ask you something. We heard Begin, he said everything was negotiable. I thought Jerusalem was not negotiable. Did he say that?
The way it sounded, everything was negotiable, I tell you what I heard today from this professor. I don't know whether he has an inside line. He indicated that what's being talked about behind closed doors is that all of the Muslim holy places in Jerusalem would be under the surveillance of the Saudi Arabian government. Exactly how that's going to happen, I don't know.
Okay.
That supposedly is being discussed. But as to Jerusalem, I agree with you. I don't think that it's anything about Jerusalem other than the...
Begin also noticed the observed the freedom of religion there. Now, what did he say about travel, that the Egyptians can come into Israel to travel?
Now, Begin said in his speech that all Egyptians are welcome to come to Israel and to travel and to meet, with Israelis, and hopefully that they'll take up his invitation.
In other words, if an Egyptian can now, if he wants to, come into Israel?
Well, this is what happened in the happen again shortly. And then one of the Hebrew papers indicates that Begin next week is going to be invited for a trip to Cairo in the very near future.
Oh, really? Huh?
Yeah, that's one of the small headlines.
Did any of your kids carry Egyptian flags?
My children didn't, but my daughter is doing a current events report, and she just, in the newspapers, they also had Egyptian flags. And they said cut them out and display them.
Yeah.
She just finished cutting out an Egyptian flag from the Egyptian
tomb. Well, there's quite a moment when he put the wreath on the unknown soldier's tomb, right?
Right. Yeah, that was, the whole thing is very emotion charged.
Yeah.
And the incredible thing is to realize that you're sitting here in Jerusalem and that he's here too.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. What else is new? Everything else all right?
Well, everything seems
I've been so busy, I haven't been able to write to you.
Huh? Well...
I don't know, I went to the White House and had a press conference with the government, with the president.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the Jewish Community Relations Council had a big meeting. Everybody, they called all the heads of agencies there, see? The only reason I went there, because I was attached to the Historical Society. And so they had starting a letter writing campaign to the president and the senators, you know.
Right.
That was on a Wednesday. So I up and said, by the way, I'm going to meet the president on Friday. What shall I ask him? So he'd just be a name dropper. Well, weird. See, he pops up, you know. So Friday, I went to Washington and had a seminar there. And then at 2 o'clock, we went to the White House and I squeezed into the beginning.
Right.
And I sat down and I said, Mr. President, in Bloomington, Delaware, they're going to do this and this and this. They don't like your attitude. Well, he said he's doing the right thing. Do you get the voice, do you?
No, I'm supposed to get, but I haven't received
it. Oh, well, I'll send you that anyway. I came back to the office. He had a great big spread on page one.
Yeah?
Okay. What time is it now there?
What's that?
What time is it now?
It's now a little bit after 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. So is everything... I assume everything is in readiness for this evening.
Oh, yeah. I've just been going over the show, yeah.
What, did Ralph work on it with you?
No, I did it myself.
You did it yourself?
Yeah.
You wrote the script, too?
Well, it's impromptu, you know. I don't write a script. I start way back to the 1902 with the coming of the immigrants to the United States. See?
Right.
And I show them what Wilmington was like, what Second Street was like. I show them the Lieberman Building, what it looks then, what it looks now. I have posters, but these were the Jews in the early days, see?
Right.
Then I start on up. I give them sort of I took cassettes, about 160 slides, I think.
So what
did
they do? They
having
tonight,
a drinking party first, what?
Tonight, the JCC,
tonight.
What, has invited the community?
No, it's a sponsors thing, they call it. I suppose so.
Tonight is the sponsor. Oh, so yeah. you have a select group that you're showing.
Yeah, they're going to have a drinking party, then at 8 o'clock they're going to do this other thing.
I see. And then are you going to show this to the public subsequently?
I don't know if I am or not. No, that could really take up your time, you know. Oh, God, you know, there's so much work to do. Okay, well, thank you very much, Rabbi.
Okay.
Right.
Glad to help you out. And just do me a favor. See if the new general will send me a press card. Then things will be easier.
Okay, I'll do that.
Because otherwise, I could have gotten into that communication
center,
and I could have called you on one of their phones. It's much easier.
Okay, Rabbi. Thank you.
Okay, give everyone my love.
Will do.
Okay, Bill. Thank you. Bye-bye.